Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Sunday School. Invite you to find your seats, and we'll begin here this morning. Claimed your seat right there, dude. That was a spike. Nice. All right. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Would you please bow with me this morning? Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for today, for this beautiful day. We thank you for your provision for us, your care for us, health and safety, and all of our activities. Lord, we ask you to bless us this morning as we have a time of focus on the life of prayer and the life of a disciple. Lord, bless us this morning in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I'm going to sneeze. It's not coming. It's the worst. It's the worst. Now it's going to bother me. Now I'm going to be waiting for it, like the other shoe to drop. Okay, here we go. Let's see if I can concentrate here. It's the worst. Okay. Good morning. Prayer and the Disciple. The series I'm doing in Sunday School is Everyday Discipleship. And it's going to dovetail with the next series for our main service that I plan to start in a week or two. Hopefully, I believe next week. Talking about essentially practical Christianity in our church, in our culture, in our time. Looking to give concrete and clear, not just expectations biblically, but also encouragements for you that we can be faithful Christians, growing and thriving in our lives. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the prayer and the disciple, and we covered basically what prayer is, and that it's a command for us to pray. Just God has commanded us to pray and to bring our concerns before Him. Pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. We are commanded to pray, and we talked about what prayer is. Prayer is a conversation that we have, our speaking to God. I love the simplistic way, and I don't mean that negatively, the simple way in which Awana talks about prayer in the Bible. The Bible is God speaking to us. Prayer is our speaking to God. And that's going to be a fundamentally important point for what we're doing this morning, is that understanding that God speaks to us in His Word, and we speak to Him in prayer, and that is, to use the language, that is our conversation with the Lord. Prayer involves giving thanks to God, confessing our sins to God, calling out for mercy unto God, and making our requests, and much, much more. So we talked about what prayer was, what prayer is, and we talked about, we looked at a couple of things, but let's look at an example of biblical prayers. Because what I want us to do this morning, I do have a goal, my goal this morning is to help you in your own prayer life at home, on the road, at lunch break, in a study hall. I want to, this lesson this morning, to equip you to have at least another tool in your belt to help you to pray fervently for all the things that you know you should pray for, and help you to not feel like floundering and not knowing what to do, what to say, and how to do it. One of my favorite examples of just prayer in the Scriptures is found in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Please turn there, and I just want to read here, and I want to read this, and after I get done reading it, I'd like to get just a couple of your, chapter 2 actually, for Samuel, a couple of takeaways of what we see here from the prayer of Hannah. Like, what do you notice about her prayer? What are some things that stick out to you about her prayer? So you can follow along as I read in 1 Samuel 2, verses 1 through 10. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. Boast no more so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and with Him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are shattered, but the feeble gird on strength. Those who were full hire, those who are full hire themselves out for bread, but those who are hungry cease to hunger. Even the barren give birth to seven, and she who has many children languishes. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and rich. He brings low, he also exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he set the world on them. He keeps the feet of his godly ones, but the wicked ones are silenced in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. Those who contend with the Lord shall be shattered. Against them he will thunder in the heavens. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and he will give strength to his king and will exalt the horn of his anointed. So this is Hannah's prayer. Remember, she had prayed for a son. She had been then blessed by a son. There's this drama, and this is her prayer of thanksgiving. So in Hannah's prayer, what is one quick thing? I want to take a few moments that stick out to you as being noteworthy or significant in the contents of Hannah's prayer here. Anything stick out? Barb. Yeah. Right. She is praising the Lord for the gift of her son, that she has this boy whom the boy she prayed for in verse 27 of chapter 1 was given to him, and she is thanking God for his provision when she was prior to Samuel's birth barren and languishing in that. So she's praising and exalting the Lord. Okay? Anyone else? What? Anything else stand out? She is exalting him. She is proclaiming his uniqueness, exalting him above all things. Okay? Notice her trust in the sovereign power of God. Verse 6, the Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down and raises up. Makes the poor and rich. He brings low and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. I mean, she is confident that God is able, powerful, and involved in the care of life. Trusting in the sovereignty of God. So there's several things here. Again, this is just one of the, I think when I think about prayers in the scriptures that stand out as just ones that I just love to read and just make my heart sing. You've got the Magnificat of Mary in Luke. You've got this. You've got Daniel's prayers. You've got different ones in there. But they're examples of prayers of people in the Bible that are encouraging to read and maybe even give you motivation or help you to structure even your own prayers in that. And so we have some examples in the scripture, and the main example, the main teaching example is found in Matthew chapter 6, where the Lord teaches his disciples to pray. And again, I don't want to focus too much this morning on the Lord's Prayer, but again, just noticing some things here in it. Because we have, I believe, some operational instructions on structured prayer. So this would be, if we're following my outline, here we have, this is number 3, letter A there. Again, this is the primary, if someone wants to learn how to pray and pray in a way that would please the Lord and have the content of your prayer be that of biblical content, you look to Matthew chapter 6 and you look at the Lord's Prayer. And just noticing in this, again, similar themes. There's an honor for God, giving his name glory. There's even the asking for him to do what he has promised to do. Your kingdom come, your will be done. There's this request that he accomplish all things that he desires. There's a request that the Lord provide for the needs. Give us this day our daily bread. A dependence upon God, a request from him to provide what we need. Even in fellowship issues, asking the Lord for, again, praying that there would be this ability to forgive those who wrong you. Verse 12, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And I think in there we have that reminder that we need to forgive those who have wronged us and not hold on to sinful grudges. Matthew 18 looks into that aspect in more detail. And then this request from the Lord to help you to stay on the straight and narrow, to lead us not into temptation. That is not that the Lord tempts you to sin, but Lord, help me to walk along a path that keeps me from the temptations that arise and snare you. This is, again, the place to go for a more specific and compact, this is the way the Lord taught his disciples to pray. And so we have examples, and we have this, again, structured teaching for prayer in the life of the Christian. So we have all these things. I'm not going to ask for hands raised, but if you've ever had a hard time in your prayer life, whether it is just taking time, whether it's knowing what to pray, how to pray, or anything thereof, or in a book I was reading recently, some people fall into this really frustrating place in their minds where they feel like they're saying the same things about the same things all the time. In other words, praying for a loved one to be saved. I don't know how to, I use almost the same words all the time, and that's not bad necessarily, but it feels kind of just, it just feels, it's hard to be energized in my prayers when I feel like I'm saying the same thing over and over again. And even sometimes people worry, is that a vain repetition of prayer? I don't think so. Vain repetition, I think, is the repeating so as to be made heard by God, which is foolishness. God hears us when we pray. So again, prayer of the disciples. So we have examples, we have instructions, we have command to pray. But I think sometimes practically it's just hard for us to maybe do that or feel engaged in our prayers. How many of you have sat down to pray and you pray and you feel like you've been praying for a long time? You look up and it's like 37 seconds have passed. Like, what in the world? Or like time seems to stop almost. Well, I read a book recently that I'm going to actually have a copy for all of the adults who want and teens who want a copy of this book that I think is a helpful system on at least adding, again, one more tool to your belt. And let me kind of set the stage by this. If you were in a creative writing class when I was in high school, we used a thing called brainstorming. You ever done brainstorming in like a writing or kind of creative class? You ever done that? What's brainstorming? Can anybody tell me what brainstorming is? What your experience of brainstorming might be? Okay, you just kind of put out on paper kind of all this come in your mind. You don't total do a whole edit and make sure they're all good. You just kind of put them out there. Okay, that's kind of just to get things out. This, I think, this method, this tool, is going to be, I think, the equivalent to or analogous to brainstorming when it comes to prayer. And I want to kind of explain to you what this is, and I want to get, we're going to actually have some time during Sunday school to try it out. So there will be significant times of no audio, no me speaking, when we're going to have some time to practice and try this method to see what it's like. To give you an example of what this looks like, turn to Proverbs chapter 30. We're going to look at a passage that I love, very familiar to me. So it's, you know, it's, I get to pick, and we're going to I want to show you a bit about this method and how you can use it in your daily devotional life to help to give vital revitalization or help you to not feel floundering when it's time to pray. So Proverbs chapter 30, starting in verse 5, and read 6 verses here. Every word of God is tested. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, or he will reprove you, and you will be proved a liar. Two things I ask of you, O Lord, do not refuse me before I die. Keep deception and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion, that I may not be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or that I not be in want and steal and profane the name of my God. Very treasured passage here for me. So here's how this brainstorming method of prayer works. It all is simply is this. You read a part of the scripture, and then you just talk to God about it. Remember, prayer is our talking to God. So here would be an example of what that looks like. Every word of God is tested. It might be this: Lord, your word is true. I have seen it be shown to be true and valuable throughout my life. It is good. It is true. I thank you that it is a sure resting place for me, a shield that protects me. I thank you, Lord, that I have trusted in you in times of trouble. And you've shown to be able to care and protect me. Lord, I thank you that it is good and able to be trusted. We live in a time when so many lies, Lord God. Politicians and neighbors and advertisements, they lie, but your word is tested. It is true, and we can rely upon you. Lord, I thank you that I can trust in you. Lord, there are many friends and people I know who don't find you their shield. Lord, my neighbors, some relatives who don't trust in you, Lord, would you reach out to them, and Lord, may they trust and repent and be saved. This is just from verse 5, a flow of thought. God's a shield. God's word is true. I've thought of people who don't trust in God, who don't trust in the truth. I'm not giving an interpretation of verse 5. That's not what this is about. This is not an accurate interpretation. This is about me reading, thinking on God's word, and what comes to mind in a brainstorming kind of idea, talking to God about those things. You can continue. Verse 6, do not add to his words, or he will prove you and you will be proved a liar. Lord, help me not to speak where you have not spoken. So many people today, Lord, you know, are wickedly leading people astray by adding to your word, saying things that you have not said. Lord, help me not to say things that you've not said in my life as the pastor, as a father. Lord, help me to speak words that are true and not add burdens to my children that they do not need to bear. That I would not speak things that are going to be binding upon them that are not from you. Help me, Lord, to be truthful, to stay to your word, and not to be one who is found to lie and have misled. I hate when I'm lied to. Lord, I know that you will never lie to me. I mean, we can go through these verses. Just again, very simply, you walk through, you read, and what comes to mind, praising God for his truthfulness, asking God to keep you in his truth, to revere what he has said, to pray for those who do not hold to the truth, who do not confess the truth. I mean, we live in a system, a society, where it is, of course, ubiquitous that politicians lie. You can't believe what they say. Advertisements, of course, lie. I mean, the fine print may tell the truth. But everything is built upon lies or misstatements of truth. I mean, you can go on so many different angles of talking about the struggles that you have, the lies you hear from your peers, from the culture, from your family maybe even, or your struggle with honoring, taking refuge in God and in his truth. Verse 7, two things I have asked you. Do not refuse before I die. Lord, I ask many things, many, many things. But help me to be comforted and steadfast in what you have you will give to me. And Lord, keep me from lies. Help me to stay truthful. Help me to not be a person who is known for lying. Help me to be so that if I find there's any untruth, even unintentionally, that I would deal with it quickly and be open and honest and forthcoming. Lord, give me neither poverty nor riches. I am stressed out, Lord, at times about all that's going on with the economy and all kinds of things. You are in control of the engines of the economy. You control all the wealth in the world. You provide for your people, and you give us what we need for as long as we need it. Lord, take care of me and take care of mine. Help me to be faithful in what you've given me. Lord, help me not to be exceedingly rich so that I think I don't need you, or to be so in need that I profane your name by dishonoring you in my poverty. I mean, this is just five verses in Proverbs 30. A way to look at the text, and again, not focusing on accurately interpreting the what God meant to the first audience, what that was, and then the actual application. There is an appropriate and significantly important time for that. This is in the life of the disciple, the devotional life, talking back to God, listening to what he said in his word, and talking to him about that. I have children, and sometimes some of the most bizarre tangents in conversation with my little younger children come by, it just comes. And that's awesome. That is conversing with my children. And that's okay. And then I respond back, and they respond and go off on more tangents. So this is, again, the brainstorming, again, this is my own word to use for it, but a brainstorming kind of just walking through the text, not looking to find the actual, again, specifically appropriate interpretation. And again, don't hear me that I'm being loose with the need for properly handling and dividing the word of truth. Don't hear that from me. But when we're reading, talk back to the Lord about what he's speaking in his word. And it brings to mind the health issues, the salvation needs, the economic needs, the whatever the fears, all the things. Use the language and use the text as that springboard. Does this make sense, this method? Any questions on kind of what this looks like? Any questions on how to do this, just on a conceptual basis? So I'm going to take no hands, meaning, yes, Pastor, I get it. We're supposed to read through a line or a phrase, and then as things are brought to mind by the Lord, by myself, or whatever it is, pray about those things. Pray about those things. What do we pray about? We thank God for our food, for our day, for provision. We ask for health. We pray for salvation. All those things that are already on your mind may come out in different ways, with different flavors, by reading the Scripture. So, it's one thing for me to talk about it. Now, turn to Psalm, we'll do 139. We'll do 139. This is a familiar psalm for most. And here's what we're going to do. And if you need to turn your body away from your neighbor a little bit, or scoot to a chair that's got maybe a little more room, that's fine. But individually here, what I'd like you to do is start at the beginning or start in a familiar verse in this psalm and read a little bit and pray to the Lord. And see how this, just trying this method out, works a little bit. Again, as an example, verse 1, you've searched me and know me. Lord, you know everything about me. You know the fact that I was just not listening to Pastor and I'm terrified about doing this quiet exercise here, right? And call out to him and talk to him about what he said and about what comes to mind, the fears, the concerns, the hopes, the dreams, the needs in your life and in your that you would normally bring. This use these as, again, reading his word, keeping your mind focused on the word, and then talking to him about what he brings to mind. So we're going to take a few minutes here and try it out. So I'm going to be quiet now. We'll go 5 minutes. And I want to hear some response, some thoughts on how this works for you here, guys, and just some of your takeaways from this. So go ahead and start with 5 minutes of prayer. right, 5 minutes is up. Now, that may have seemed like three eternities, or may have seemed like a second. This is not the only way or the main way in which we ought to pray, but I hope that this has been at least a good exercise in talking to the Lord about what he brings to mind as you read his word. So in that vein, was there anything that anyone would like to share about some of your experience in this? Like, what did you notice maybe about as you tried to do this this exercise? Anything maybe different than normal when you pray, or anything that could encourage us? Stephanie.
Sometimes it's really easy when we pray to think about all the things that we want from the Lord, or that we're asking about our loved ones or our own lives, the things that impact us. And it seems like the pronoun you, speaking about the Lord, is repeated over and over and over again. And so to put our focus on God and his attributes, his knowledge and presence, and it helps to realign my mind to so focus on things.
Okay. Thanks, Stephanie. Anybody else? Yeah, that's great, Nancy. I think this helps that speaking God's thoughts back to him and what it brings to our finite minds. So good. Great. What a help. Somebody else? Stefan. Yeah, he knows you, and you're dealing with what he's actually saying. You're interacting with the God who's spoken and who scrutinizes. Good. Somebody else. Mm-hmm. Good. Katya. Anybody else? Some of the things that I regularly pray for are care for my family, health for, you know, my family, and for salvation for those, and a lot of things. But I noticed that I should have written down exactly what I was looking. Oh, yeah. You know, when I sit down and when I rise up, and I was just reading to this morning with us all, one of the things I pray regularly about, or I think about, is, you know, Lord, I want to make sure I'm doing good and better with just the way that I organize my day when I get up, what I do when I get up. So I you know, spend some time praying for diligence and faithfulness and alacrity in that area. because he does know when I get up and how many times I hit the snooze button or whatever it might be. Near the end, it says in verse 21, I hate those who hate you, O Lord, and I loathe those who rise up against you. And just thinking about, as I was reading through that and praying through that, I thought of those who, again, and this is not what that text is saying, but those who have opposed either what I'm doing as a father, as a Christian father, or as a pastor, or have other kinds of conflicts that seem to go against applying and living out the scriptures. And that is and I ask, you know, for wisdom in those areas, that I'd be zealous in faithfully carrying out what he said, but also that I would know when, you know, maybe when it's more me than it's following the Lord. I mean, just, so these are things that I wouldn't have thought about this morning, but I was reading through that came to mind, to pray for faithfulness in those kinds of struggles. So this is just again one example of picking Psalm 139 that you could read through in your devotions as a if you're having trouble praying. Now I like a lot of variety. I actually have worked on actual edited kinds of short prayers for different things that I like to do. And I find that to be comforting and helpful because of the process of wanting to focus my heart and my mind when it comes to reading the Bible or it might be. So I find that kind of intentional crafting of a prayer to the Lord as very helpful in some areas. But this, again, brainstormy kind of stream of consciousness, responding to what the Lord has said in his word is helpful and another one of those things that can, again, help me spend more quality time speaking with the Lord. So, we've kind of looked at a less structured prayer, which is what we're looking at, this kind of brainstorming method. And so we did our attempt here walking through it, and whether you wrote down anything or thought anything, that's what that space was for. So now the plan, and I've heard this years ago and I'd forgotten about it, so this is not a new thing, but one of the recommendations in this book is if you're having a hard time in your prayer life, an easy way is the 30s method. You don't know what to pray. You don't even know where to go in your Bible to read, to try to do this. One of the easy things to do is take today's date, which is the 16th. So, on the 16th, you can look at Psalm 16, add 30, Psalm 46, 76, 106, 136. Look at all the different Psalms there and see if you can find one that works for you that day. Skim through several, and then, this one, I'll stay here. This is not and that's not the only thing you can do. You can read through anywhere. Read through the prophets. Read through the Gospels. But if you don't know where to start, that the 30 method is at least a good place to give you some good concrete options. Okay, today's the 16th. I know these five ones at least are going to be here. And it works every day of the month. What about the 31st day? Well, then you can go back to Psalm 119 and dive in there if you want to do that. But I mean, again, just as a practical help to kind of get that, you know, sometimes you got to jump start your car, or actually I have to hotwire my my lawnmower just to get her going. Sometimes you need something to get going a little bit, and then you can go off to the races. So in our life, you know, of faithfulness, prayer is an important part. I should have had this quote. I was reading a book this week and talking with some individuals about it. But talking about the basic things for growth in the Christian life, And as you read the scriptures, you try to boil it all down to some principles. And I'm scrolling for this quote, and I apologize here. I didn't even think about it until just now. But the simple thing is this. Basically, it's very simple. Read your Bible, pray, be in a good church, and have good Christian fellowship where the word is preached and where the ordinances are obeyed and where we're going to, you know, strive together to honor Christ. And that is the way in which you can grow as a Christian disciple. And prayer is a fundamental part of that. So if you're having trouble praying, and if the 5 minutes seemed like an eternity, well, maybe that'll change. There's no spiritual, like, super spiritual value to pray for 10 minutes or 20 minutes or 30 minutes of time. But at the same time, there shouldn't be anything wrong with doing that either. So I have a copy, again, a book for each adult and each teen who wants it. I got a copy enough for everybody. And it'll go through in more detail and probably better in a longer way of walking through what we talked about today. And my hope and prayer is this will at least be something that can benefit you and help you to every day be a better, more faithful disciple. All the books up here, and I'll hand them out here, but let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning, that we could look into your word and pray. Lord, for this different method of just trying to speak to you, responding to what you have said, in what you bring to mind, but all the while coming back and staying focused and on your word and letting you direct the conversation. May we every day be faithful. May our prayers and our times of devotions, may they honor you, and may we become more like Christ. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.